President Trump says he will defy Democrats' demands and prevent former White House counsel Don McGahn from testifying before Congress because the Russia investigation is over. The president spoke on Fox News last night.
They've gone through everything, and I'm so clean. Think of it. After 2.5 years and all of that money spent, nothing.
It is Friday, and it was a busy week in politics. So let's bring in our roundtable. Tolu Olorunipah is White House reporter for The Washington Post. Tolu, good to speak with you again.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC and MSNBC. Beth, good to speak with you.
And you as well.
Beth, I'm going to give you the chance to highlight the best moment of the week for you. Was it the empty chair in the White House committee room set aside for the Attorney General William Barr? The bucket of fried chicken that one Democrat brought to the hearing to mock the Attorney General, or something else altogether?
Yeah, chicken. Get it? it's really very troubling, I have to say, though, Peter, given the seriousness of what we're dealing with here.
You're right.
I mean, the president was found by Robert Mueller's report to be at least attempting to obstruct on many occasions throughout the whole Russia probe. It was made very clear in that report. Attorney General Barr was evidently asked in his role as chief law enforcement officer of the United States to essentially defend President Trump and not act independently. Republicans, including Lindsey Graham, who have previously been extremely critical of President Trump, or at least candidate Trump back in the day, were left saying that it's time to reopen Hillary Clinton's email investigation. Not only that, but we've definitely seen an indecision on the Democrats' part about how to proceed going forward. Jerry Nadler, the head of House Oversight, very much wanting to potentially call Attorney General Barr under contempt or
right.
perhaps subpoena his appearance before the House because of that empty chair. Nancy Pelosi, very troubled by Barr's decision not to come to testify before the House, and yet still saying she's not interested in an impeachment proceedings. There's a real decision that Democrats have to make about how far they want to pursue this Mueller report and Barr's appearance before it, or is it time to move on and just time to move on to some other issues?
Well, let's hear from the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who is referring to Barr's performance here at her press conference yesterday.
He lied to Congress. He lied to Congress. If anybody else did that, it would be considered a crime. Nobody is above the law, not the president of the United States and not the attorney general.
So, Tolu, yes, this is serious. And it does look like there are some negotiations going on today between the House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler, who is saying that he'll now give Barr until 9 a.m. Monday to respond. And this is for that request for the unredacted version of the Mueller report. But what do you think? We get to Monday. What happens? Are we still headed toward contempt proceedings?
All indications appear that that's where we're headed. This does seem to be the early stages of what could be a constitutional crisis, a clash between the various branches of government. You have the House Speaker saying that the Attorney General within the executive branch has lied to Congress and committed a crime. You have the Attorney General in some ways behaving more like the president's personal attorney and really stonewalling Democrats in the House and not wanting to provide information, not wanting to provide testimony, and really giving the president language that can help him say that he's been vindicated and exonerated by the Mueller report, when the actual Mueller report was much more damaging for the president and painted a very damning picture of how the president operated behind closed doors and all of the various attempts that he made to obstruct justice, mm-hmm. according to the Mueller report.
Beth, how
so
many?
We
yeah.
could be.
Go ahead.
We could be very close to that kind of a clash taking place between the Congress and the executive branch.
As far as that contempt charge goes or the proceedings go, Republicans tried to do this with Eric Holder during the Obama administration. He refused to turn over documents during the Fast and Furious ATF gunwalking scandal. Beth, is it all that meaningful or is it more political in this case?
Well, Congress does have a job to do, which is to do oversight on the executive branch. That's part of its role. So Congressman Nadler and others are not wrong to want to pursue a track on this. The question is the political nature of this starting to overtake the oversight nature of
right.
this? We've got an incredibly polarized Congress right now, of course, we have polarized voters. Nobody's minds are being changed by any of this. Most polling shows that voters want to move on. They don't think that President Trump came out of this scot-free, but they don't want an impeachment proceeding to go ahead. The presidential candidates, the Democrats out on the hustings, are very eager to talk about other things. They don't want to talk about the Russia probe. Voters aren't bringing it up. So it really leaves Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats in the House in particular at a crossroads. What to do? Do you just move on and basically give carte blanche to the next president to undertake activities of this kind and not exercise oversight? Strong oversight, or perhaps launch impeachment because it's not what people want. It's really a hard place for them.
Right. The president tweeted praise this morning for a New York Times article that he claims is proof of efforts to spy on his campaign. The story says the FBI sent an undercover informant to question his campaign advisor, George Papadopoulos. And on Fox News this morning, Vice President Mike Pence called this troubling.
We've got to get to the bottom of how all this started. I mean, the American people have a right to know how this investigation even began. And as the attorney general said when he testified before Congress, there was spying.
Tolu, it is good fodder for the president's supporters.
Yeah, we're going to continue to hear the president and his campaign sort of play the victim here and say that they were the victims of an improper spying campaign by the FBI. But when the vice president says, you know, we need to find out how this all originated, there's ample evidence about how this investigation started. One of President Trump's foreign policy advisors on his campaign spoke to a foreign official about information that he believed that the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton, and that foreign government provided that information to the FBI and said, listen, there's someone in the Trump campaign who appears to have information about dirt from the Russians on Hillary Clinton, and that caused the investigation to be launched. And I think that there's been so much information and so many investigations already by House Republicans in the past Congress about this effort that it's pretty clear why the investigation started, but the Trump administration and the Trump campaign want to focus on some of the negative things that they can associate with the FBI about, you know, spying allegations from the attorney general and claims that President Trump was the victim of this smear campaign by the FBI. So they do have some fodder that they've gotten from people like Attorney General Barr, who said that he wants to investigate how this all began. But I do believe that there's been so many different investigations already that have shown a clear nexus between what the Trump campaign was doing in terms of its multiple links with the Russian government and Russian officials and the FBI's decision to launch a counterintelligence investigation, in part because of all of those links, which were, we have to remember, unprecedented in terms of the number of links between a foreign adversary and a presidential campaign.
We had a chance to see how some of the Democratic candidates for the White House in 2020, we're going to handle this. I want to hear some tape. This is from earlier in the week in the Senate when the Attorney General was answering questions from senators. Here's California Senator Kamala Harris, a candidate, who was questioning the Attorney General about his four-page summary of the Mueller report.
My question is, in reaching your conclusion, did you personally review all of the underlying evidence?
No, we took and accepted
Mr. Rosenstein?
No, we accepted the statements in the report as the factual record.
Beth, some people are saying this is good exposure for candidate Kamala Harris. What do you think?
Yeah, well, she also did a similar job of grilling then Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, of course, and that highlighted her skills as a prosecutor, and those were on display again this week with Attorney General Barr. Look, Kamala Harris has been, you know, considered a top tier candidate throughout this process, although sort of her visibility's dropped a little bit
in
recent weeks. Some of the polling that we've seen come out, especially since Vice President Joe Biden joined the field, shows her, you know, really not kind of up in the top three or so of candidates. But, you know, it's still early. She's drawing good crowds out in the field as an African-American woman candidate. She is definitely drawn interest from many African-American voters who, of course, are the heart and soul of the Democratic primary and will probably determine who the nominee is going to be. So she's got plenty of upside potential. And this appearance this week in the Senate with AG Barr is probably giving her another breath of life at this point.
Tolu, there had been some rumblings that high-profile women in this race, like Kamala Harris, like Elizabeth Warren, are not getting anywhere near the coverage that some of the white men were, Biden, Sanders, Buttigieg, for instance. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a fair criticism? Are the women getting a fair shake here?
Well, we saw in 2016 that women running for president face a higher bar and face more scrutiny about whether it's their looks or the way they speak or questions about authenticity and ability to connect with voters. And I don't think that much has changed, but we have seen multiple women jump into this race, and some of them are starting to gain more traction and starting to get more attention about specifically their policy goals. If you look at Senator Elizabeth Warren, for example, she's been a front runner when it comes to putting out policy ideas and putting out different types of prescriptions for how to deal with various problems. Yeah. And I think that we're starting to see her catch a little bit of fire in because she has multiple plans.
Tolu Olorunipov with the Washington Post. And Beth Fooey, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now.